Good morning. In October half term, Jonathan, Charlie and I spent the weekend in a cabin on a raft on a lake near Maldon in Essex. And here it is. Let's see. There we are. Oh, it was lovely. We arrived in the dark because the traffic had been terrible, which wasn't ideal as we had to park about a 10-minute walk away. Put all our belongings in a wheelbarrow and follow instructions by torchlight round several other lakes on muddy paths and through various gates to get to it, but it all added to the adventure. And when we finally got to the right lake, we had to put the wheelbarrow on another raft and pull ourselves across with a rope to get to the cabin. It was even better than we'd imagined. Beautifully and lovingly constructed, really cozy with a log burner inside, an alfresco kitchen on the decking on one side, and an alfresco open to the elements but entirely discreet shower and loo on the other side. It was peaceful, it was beautiful, and I have to say, in 2020, a truly ideal place for social distancing. And it had a rowing boat. Many happy hours were spent doing time trials across the lake. The Mayos are considerably more competitive than we like to make out, or just messing about in the boat because, as Kenneth Graham's Ratty in Wind in the Willows says, there is absolutely nothing half so much doing. We had been booked to go last Easter, but, you know, circumstances rather overtook us all. But as it happened, if we'd been able to go then, we would have missed out on one of the most amazing and unexpected wildlife experiences any of us had ever had, which we later discover only really happens in the autumn. Have a look at those reed beds behind Charlie in the picture. Each night, that was where starlings roosted. But before settling down to bed at about 5:30, they gathered in the air. First a few, then those few were joined by more and more and more until there were thousands of them swooping, dancing, diving, swirling, circling the cabin in front of us, above us, behind us, and repeatedly, apparently as one, changing direction, making amazing complex patterns and shapes. It's called a murmuration, and it is a remarkable, awe-inspiring sight and sound and sensation of thousands of wings moving in the air at speed. It's a bit like when one of those cycle races comes through and you're standing by the side of the road and you feel the air move as all the cyclists come past you. It felt a bit like that. Now, I've got a little film to show you. It's about 45 seconds with not much in the way of sound, so apologies if you're listening in on the phone. For everyone else, I really hope it gives you even just an inkling of what it was like. And that just happened repeatedly for about 40 minutes. Oh, and there it is happening again. How about that? Now, what you can't see there is Charlie in the rowing boat in the middle of the lake, starling poo dropping round him like it's the Blitz. None of us quite thought that one through, and he got a little bit hit a couple of times, but we sorted that out. That was okay. Now, as numbers reach their peak, after about 40 minutes, the birds suddenly decide it's time for bed. And it's like there's some secret signal that means that these thousands of birds all at once, as one, simply drop into the reed beds. It was simply astounding. The whole experience just made us hold our breath in absolute wonder. Remarkably, it's not known exactly why they do it. I mean, isn't that great? It's a mystery. There's safety in numbers, of course, which is why they group together like that. And it certainly must be more difficult for predators to pick out one bird in the middle of a hypnotizing flock of thousands. Though it doesn't stop them having a go. We saw peregrines roosting in the trees behind the reed beds, ready for the moment when the starlings get up, rising again all at once, first thing in the morning. And in one heart-stopping moment, we saw one peregrine actually make a catch, only to drop the starling back down into the reed bed. Experts think they all settle down to sleep in one place to have a bit of a chat about the best feeding grounds, which makes perfect sense. But no one really understands the murmuration bit, why, and also quite how they manage it without bumping into each other. Though there are theories I've read about each starling keeping a close eye on just seven of the others at a time, which seems completely nuts. The genius conclusion of the not remotely expert Mayos, based on nothing more than experiencing it, for those two evenings in October, is that the starlings are simply having a wonderful time. It feels joyous, a celebration of being alive and free, a whirling, joyful dance of praise to the Creator. Much like the psalmist speaks about in Psalm 148 that we heard Jackie read this morning, every part of creation, from the greatest to the least, from the angelic hosts and shining stars to the small creatures and flying birds. Yep, those are our starlings, praising the Lord. And that's very much what the 20th century American poet E.E. Cummings expresses in a poem I'd never seen until Lois Kremen chose it last year instead of a song when Alan was asking around for people's favorites for our Songs of Praise Sundays. It's not at all straightforward, but then some of the best poems require a little bit of work from us. It's taken me lots of readings and listenings to get some sense of what he's saying, but the more I read it, the more it seems worth it. I'm going to read it now with some trepidation, and I'll try and do it justice. I thank you, God, for most this amazing day. For the leaping, greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I, who have died, am alive again today, and this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and of love and wings and of the gay, great happening illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing any, lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you. Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. It's got odd syntax, words not quite in the right order, or quite as we expect them to be, odd punctuation, but that all serves to make us stop and think, to move us on through it, to be grabbed by the poet's joy, the colour, his excitement and wonder in the created world, and his brilliant attempt to describe the Creator himself as the positive, affirmative, definitive yes. There's a bit there in the middle about death and resurrection, a spiritual awakening as a sweeping awareness of the glory of God and a celebration of that, the sun's birthday, the birthday of life and of love and wings and the joyous, limitless earth. And the humbling of Cummings and us all in the face of God the Creator. As Lois pointed out to me in an email this week, the personal pronoun I is lowercase, putting us in our earthly human place, as opposed to the only capitals that are reserved for God and you. And the utter amazement when faced with the awe, the beauty, the wonder, with our ears awake and eyes open to it all, that any mere mortal could possibly doubt unimaginable you. And there's a lovely musical version of the poem too, which just keeps going through my head, and Libby's going to play it as you're getting yourself a coffee at the end of the service. If you're feeling in need of an injection of natural world awe and wonder, I suggest you watch David Attenborough's new series, A Perfect Planet. It's on at Sunday nights at 8 o'clock on BBC One, or of course you can watch it on the iPlayer. As usual, it's all jaw-dropping. I don't think the wildlife cameramen and women need feel remotely threatened by my Starling film from earlier. And remembering the fig tree Jesus saw Nathaniel under in the passage from John's Gospel that Judith read earlier, if you saw episode 2 last Sunday, you'll have learned more than you ever thought you'd need to, more than you really wanted to in some ways, about fig trees and their relationship with and codependence with a certain type of wasp, which was eye-opening and jaw-dropping, to say the least. So David starts each programme with these words. There is only one planet in the universe, as far as we know, where there is life. The Earth, our home, our perfect planet. When we watch an Attenborough series, or see things like a Starling murmuration for ourselves, how can we not be struck by just how perfect our planet is, or would be, if we humans hadn't managed to make such a mess of things over the last few hundred years? Of course, there needs to be, as ever, a response to that awful realization, to do all we can to make up for that, to make changes to the way we live, to ensure our planet is as healthy as it can be. And I'm going to tell you a really good new way of each of us doing that a little bit later. But we're only moved to do that once we feel the awe and wonder that E.E. Cummings felt, that the psalmist felt, that we feel watching David Attenborough's programmes, that Charlie, Jonathan and I felt, seeing something as apparently ordinary as a bunch of starlings doing something quite extraordinary. And I'm sure all of us have had experiences like that, from the relatively small and mundane, like dear Pat showing us the astonishing beauty of the flowers that most of us would class as weeds between the cracks in the pavement, to something maybe big and wild. And in turn, seeing, experiencing those kind of things elicits a response from us of awe and wonder. And our instinct is to thank and praise God for all that he's made. So now I'd like to give us an opportunity to do exactly that. A few minutes in which it would be lovely to hear about an encounter you've had with nature, with wildlife, with God's creation, which at the time made you just stop and wonder, and maybe still makes your heart sing when you think about it. It can be small and local, wild and global, or anything in between, animal, vegetable, or mineral. So if you have something to share, we'll have a few minutes where you can unmute your microphone, and please do remember to mute it again afterwards, to praise God for his amazing work, his perfect planet, by sharing with us all as a prayer of praise or as a brief description, your own experience of it and how it made you feel, which is in itself a prayer. And I'll close with a prayer after a few minutes. So we'd love to hear from you.
Hannah, hello, it's Kieran.
Hi, Kieran.
I had the fortunate experience in the Galapagos Islands. So myself and Simon were on a sailing visit around the Galapagos, and we stopped at this island. There was only us, and I walked along a beach, and you were told never to touch the wildlife, which we didn't. I sat on a rock on my own, and Simon was down the other side of the beach taking the wildlife. All of a sudden, on my own, out of the water, came three baby seals. I sat on the rock and I thought, what do I do? The seals came out of the water because they're not used to humans, and they came up, wrapped themselves around my legs, crawled onto my lap, and I sat there in awe and wonder of thinking, oh my goodness, this is truly wildlife. And I sat there for ages, and people came onto the island, and then they went back into the water, and I had the most inspiring experience. As a result, ever since then, we've been supporting the Galapagos Wildlife Fund. So that was my experience.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kieran.
Hello, it's Jackie here. I knew you were going to ask people to share this morning, so I was thinking about what I might say. And I was wondering, I went out into the garden this morning because it was such a beautiful morning, and just to feel the sun on my face. And I went out, and as I looked up, there was a red kite which glided above my head. And they're just such magnificent birds. And they were once nearly extinct in this country, and they've been brought back to from extinction, and now they're thriving throughout England. So I just thought that was an amazing sign of hope. Thank you.
Can I say something? For me, it's the view from Newlands Corner. Whatever time of year it is, whatever time of day, you always get the most stunning view, whether it's trees poking up above the mist or just the colours and the different kinds of green. Just amazing. And the same about looking at Ranmore. Whatever time of year, there's always something gorgeous to look at.
Thank you, Libby.
Go on, Louise.
Are you sure? Okay, I have something to share from a long time ago, really. Living in Queensland, and so many bugs coming in, which I was pretty alarmed about at the time, but you turn the light off and they don't crash into the walls. And it sounds like I'm talking about destruction. But in the morning, cleaning my teeth, there would be this line of ants going across the top of the tiles, carrying all sorts of bits of bug. And nothing was wasted. It all went and was recycled and reused. And I thought that the balance of that was extraordinary. And it just helped me accept where I was and celebrate all parts of it.
On one of our epic bike rides that Alan and I try and do every summer, we were along the Pembrokeshire coast path cycling. And we'd been in the hills and a little bit surrounded by tall hedges. And we came to the top of a hill, and down to our right was Newgale Beach with nobody on it. Beautiful sand, the sea. And my response was just to cry at its beauty. It was fantastic.
Hannah, I wanted to pick up on your poo theme in the middle of the lake, because when we used to spend some time in Italy, the house had little alcoves, and we discovered that there was small owls that used to live in the alcoves, and they used to come in and out, and there was a baby owl, and it used to come and peer out, and then it would turn round and poo out of the alcoves so that it didn't mess. So you had to be really careful, but it was quite extraordinary how it had made this little home up there and know how to keep it all very clean.
Wonderful, thank you. Malcolm, you had something to say.
When I was a student, I went around North America, and I went to Niagara Falls, and it was the most incredible sight, because there was this huge rainbow coming out from the middle of it. And it was just awesome with the power of the water as you stood right by the tipping point. And it just blew me away in terms of God's creation.
Hi, I wanted to share about, can you hear me? I wanted to share about a few years ago, we were staying on the harbour in Padstow in an apartment, looking right over onto the harbour. And it was about 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning. My mobile phone started ringing. So anyway, I picked it up, and it was one of Laura's friends. She'd gone to Budapest, and she was on holiday there. And one of her friends phoned to say that she was in hospital in the A&E department there. So anyway, we had a discussion, and then after that, I went out. I thought, I can't go back to sleep. So I went out for a walk on the harbour, and I watched the most amazing and glorious sunrise. And that just brought me so much calm and answered prayer as well. It was just absolutely stunning, and I still have that picture today.
Thank you for all those. Somebody wanted to say something else.
I was going to say, Hannah, dog walkers, we have the privilege to get up every morning early and walk in fog, rain, cold wind, But to step across the A25 down into that valley when the mist is low is just something else. It's such a quiet space, and it sort of puts, particularly in the past year, it's helped me put life in perspective in that piece, that we are small parts of God's creation, and it's just wonderful, wonderful.
Alan, did you want to say something?
I'll lead on to the creed in a moment. Anything you want to say?
I just want to say a prayer just to close all those wonderful stories. Thank you so much for sharing them. And in sharing the stories, those are prayers of praise. So we thank you, Lord God, for your extraordinary perfect world, for the sunrises, for the seals, for the ants, for rainbows, for mist in the valleys, for amazing views, for all the other things that that people have talked about, for little owls in alcoves, for all the things that people have talked about, which absolutely point us to you and your perfect world. So Lord, open our ears and open our eyes to see and hear the wonders of your creation. At times, stop us in our tracks so that we don't miss the life and the colour and jaw-dropping, awe-inspiring beauty that surrounds us. And show us, please, Lord, how to be responsible, thoughtful stewards of it all. Amen.